Yeah, and listen, hey, it's really nice to be back. Yeah, thank you. Oh, bless your heart. My, did I ever miss you guys? It's been a week already, yes. And the bright lights of the big city, I still wanted to come back and be right here near Gad's Hill. I tell you, there's no place like it. Now, this is one of those weeks. I'm sure you've had them. I sort of overextended myself. I took on some extra commitments, and I took them all on before I knew that I was going to be going to New York City. And so this week has just been. Do you remember watching nature shows on TV? Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, every now and again they would talk about the dung beetle. Right, the little guy pushing that ball up the hill, and then it would all roll down. He kept, and you kind of wonder what in the world are you doing that for? But hey, he's got his own reasons. But yeah, I kind of felt, kind of felt like a dung beetle this week. Yeah, just kind of pushing that little ball up the hill. But God has been so good. Now, as I shared in my email this week, I just can't begin how great it was to actually be at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, their pastor's conference last week, and really just being there kind of fulfilled something on my bucket list that I've had for a number of years. Just wanted to get down there, and I have a lot of decompressing to do. In fact, you know, I was looking at my, they gave us a little notebook to write notes in, and I don't know if you're like me. If I look at these notes a month from now, I'm going to go, "What in the world did I write?" So I'm going to type them up. And then I thought, I don't know, maybe we could get together even on a Saturday sometime. Not that we're already aren't enough busy as it is, but maybe even sometime in the month of May or either before or after the garage sale. But just to come here, get some muffins and coffee, and I'll just share with you some of those notes that I took. And we'll have our own little mini fan the flame conference together. Stay tuned for more information on that. But thank you all for your prayers for me while I was away. You know, there were about 900 pastors and church leaders who were there, and from so many different parts of the world as well. I was sitting with some people from China. And in fact, I got a chance to shout out that I was from Canada. And it's amazing, you know, afterwards, a couple times I'd be somewhere and somebody would just go, "Hey, you're the guy from Canada." And they love Canada. In fact, one guy I met said, I'd even like to live up in Canada. You know, and he was talking about how crazy things were going down in the U.S. And I said, "Well, we're not far behind you, trust me." One lady said, "I detect an accent from you." I said, "You know, where I come from, you'd have the accent." Anyway, we had a nice laugh about that. In fact, they were lovely people, and they invited me to sit with them a couple times too. That was nice. Hey, and speaking of lovely people, now some of you will remember we did a video study from Pastor Jim Cimbala, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and the study was called "When God's Spirit Moves," and it featured testimonies from a number of people who are members of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. You may recall the story. There was a woman by the name of Diana Berrios, and several years ago, she was involved in drugs and various occult practices. And you know, if you're involved in any of that stuff, it doesn't lead down a good road. And someone brought her out to a prayer meeting one night. And as they were bringing her up to the front for prayer, she heard someone mention the name Jesus, and that just set her right off. Well, actually, it set off whatever was inside of her, whatever demonic oppression she was experiencing. And well, the name of Jesus is the name that makes the demons very angry, by the way. There's power in the name of Jesus. Well, she ran up and started attacking Pastor Cimbala. Do you remember this story? She was just this little wisp of a woman, he said, but all of a sudden she grabbed him by the neck and had this superhuman strength She ripped the collar of his shirt off, just like it was tissue paper. Well, they wrestled her down, and the whole church began praying for her. And she was able to testify. Diana Berrios was eventually delivered from the drugs and the darkness. She received Jesus. That's what started it all, of course. Eventually, from what I understand, she got married. And these days, she serves in the church. And I got a picture with her. Have we got that picture? There we are. Do you know, the first day I was there, all of a sudden, this little woman went shooting by, right? And I went, I think that's that lady from the, well, I couldn't catch her. And so I thought, oh, I hope I get to see her. And then later on, I finally caught up with her. I told her, I mean, she power walks wherever she goes. And I told her that she totally blessed our congregation. She said to say hello to you all. And I think she's on the cleaning staff, actually, at the church. And I asked her, I said, did you ever buy Pastor Jim a new shirt? And she said, no, but he keeps bugging me to get him one. Anyway, there we go. And you know, one of the things I really truly realized is that if there is a secret to what happens at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and in all honesty, I have never been anywhere where I felt the Holy Spirit in such a tangible way. It was kind of like almost as soon as you entered the door. And you know, they don't have fog machines and all that kind of stuff, but as soon as you get in there, you just suddenly feel like, wow, God is here. And I realize the secret, it's not celebrity, it's prayer. It's prayer. And in fact, they have what they call their prayer band. They have people that pray before the service, and then all during the service, there's somebody praying for the worship leaders, for the speaker, for everything going on there. And I realized that was it. Prayer and the lifting up of the name of Jesus. And as they were talking and as we were sharing some of the things, you know, over the last, what's happening in both our countries, okay, Canada and the U.S., and I began to realize more and more and more, I mean, in evangelical circles especially, we're just becoming known as angry people trying to get our favorite political party in office. And I thought, no, it's not conservative, it's not liberal, it's not green, it's not NDP, right? It's not white, it's not black. It's Jesus Christ who wanted unity in the whole body. And if we don't lift him up, right, he said, well, remember the old song we sang back in the 60s? They'll know we are Christians by our love. Yeah, not our votes. And so I realized that Jesus is the key. Jesus and prayer. In fact, Pastor Simbler was telling a story of a guy that came to visit him one time in his office. He said, I need some advice, Pastor. He said, well, sure, of course, that's why I'm here. And he said, well, I'm really seeking the Lord's direction. I've just finished some studies at seminary, and I just want to know, does God want me to get my PhD? And Pastor Simbler said, well, okay, brother, you know, I'm not against somebody getting their PhD, and you'll have to decide some of that yourself, but come on over to the window with me. And they went over to the window, and he looked down on the street, and when you're in Brooklyn, you pass some pretty sketchy things. Let me just put it that way. But you feel safe, but, you know, there are some pretty desperate sort of people in Brooklyn. And Jim Simbler has said, look down on that street. Nobody down there is saying, oh, Lord, send us somebody with a PhD. They need Christ. And if they don't find it in us, where are they going to find it? And if we don't remember what he's called us to, we're going to lose a whole generation. We're already losing them now. right? Because they're not interested in some of the stuff we squabble over. Why would they be? As I wrote in this week's email, the conference was called Fan the Flame. And as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, he said, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. In Timothy's case, it came from the laying on of Paul's hands somehow. But it's the Spirit that gives us not timidity, but power and a sound mind. And so fan that into flame. I was thinking, whatever gift is in you, right? Whatever you've received from his Spirit, keep fanning that into flame. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just keep using your gift. Keep using your gift and letting it burn brighter inside of you. Now, today I'm going to start the message with a little bit differently. I promise not to do this too often, but I am going to sing. Well, some of you know, I try to post a song or a hymn once a week on YouTube and Facebook. And this is the last song I did before going to Brooklyn. And I was sharing some thoughts kind of on the fly during the video. And I remember I wrote myself just a little note at that time saying, hey, I could expand on this for a sermon when I get back. And you know, I'm really glad I did that, because when I got back, it was like, oh, I got to do a sermon now. And then I remembered, oh, I've got some of it done already. I got some ideas out there already. So this does tie in, actually. Oh, I think it's in tune still. To some of these thoughts that have been rolling around in my head since I got back from that conference. Now, don't take this part too far, okay? But this song was written by a woman named Clara Scott back in 1895. Anybody have any idea why 1895 might be significant? Any idea? Let's put up a little hint. No, I hope not. No, you know what? If you walk outside this building and head out to the left, you'll see the cornerstone there, 1895. Hey, now again, don't put too much into this, but I just thought it was kind of neat. You want to hear what kind of music was on the Billboard Top 100 in 1895 when this church was brand new? Okay, we'll put the words up here, and you feel free to join me, because as you know, I'll need your help. But it is a prayer from 1895 for Clara, from Clara Scott. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Remember this one? Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth that I may bear gladly thy warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Ooh, amen. You know, as that song pointed out, we ask God to open our eyes that we may see. We ask him to open our ears to hear, right? The truth. His quiet voice in a very loud world, very loud, chaotic world around us. We've got to listen for it. And you know when he does that? When we've been enlightened by the things of Jesus, then we open our mouths. We speak. We tell people. We share the life that we've found with them. Was it St. Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel at all times and use words when necessary? And, you know, I mean, sometimes you got to speak, but just with our whole lives, everywhere we go, we are going to be displaying all the time. We want to see people. We want people to see Jesus when they meet us. Whenever we have a visitor here, at Generations. Now, by the way, whenever a visitor does come here, you know, in a group this size, they stand out right away, right? We know the visitor's here, but listen, a person may not remember the exact name of this church, handed out my business card to a couple people, and I don't care if you remember my name for sure. We want you to remember Jesus, don't we? Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We'll have them up on the screen too, but Luke chapter 11. And I was thinking of these words when I got to thinking about that song. And here in Luke 11, we're going to go down to verse 33. And Jesus said this: no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. Now, if you have the New International Version, you'll see they put a little footnote for us. The Greek word for healthy, it actually implies generous. When your eyes are generous, I'm thinking of, you know, when you're not just looking at yourself, right, and your own needs. When your eyes are open to the needs of other people. Maybe your hands are open to the needs of other people. And you know, they talk about the eyes being the lamp to the soul. Well, when your eyes are open and looking out for the needs of others, then your whole body will be full of light. But when they are unhealthy, and that's not to do with my, you know, nearsightedness or whatever your eye trouble might be. No, when your eyes are unhealthy, and that implies stingy. So when the eyes are closed to the needs of other people, you're just focused on yourself or, Lord, bless us four and no more, you know. When that's the case, Jesus said, your body is full of darkness. Now, there's going to be something in every person, either light or darkness, right? Okay, I'm a mixture of both sometimes. But he said, see to it that the light within you is not darkness. So like the hymn writer, we ask God, keep opening our eyes. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. I can see where I'm going. And you can help others see where they're going too, right? Thy word is a lamp to my feet. And then, last week from some of my devotional reading, I got to thinking about what we look at. I want to turn to a couple of verses in Proverbs. Okay, this is back to your Old Testament here, just after the book of Psalms, book of Proverbs. And there we are. Proverbs chapter 4. And it's talking in that chapter about wisdom and our great need for God's wisdom. Don't we need that today? I mean, people are losing even common sense in our world these days, it seems. But in Proverbs 4, verse 25, it says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, sometimes I look at things I probably shouldn't. Do you ever look at things you probably shouldn't look at? And it seems the longer you look at something, the more you want it. And like I say, it's not always good for us. So then I thought, well, hey, I wonder if we could fix our eyes more on him. As the author of the book of Hebrews tells us, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I wonder if the more we did that, maybe the more we'll want him. The more we fix our gaze on him, allowing Jesus to be the light that fills us from the inside out. The more we do that, well, maybe as that other old song says, you know, the things of earth will grow strangely dim, right, in the light of his glory and grace. And then, of course, that hymn we sang, I found the verse that inspired Clara Scott to write it back when the cornerstone was being laid at this building that is now Generations Community Church, 1895. Just look at that verse as we come to a close. It's from the longest psalm. There it is, Psalm 119, just verse 18, and it says, "Open my eyes that I may see," right? Wonderful things in your law. Thinking of the things that God will show us as we seek him in his word. The things that are revealed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we just ask him to open our eyes to it. As Jesus would tell us to do, open your eyes to me and also to the people around you. A generous gaze, an open hand to accompany that gaze. Are you interested in other people? Are you? I'll tell you now, it'll cost you. Right? Once you start getting interested in someone, once you start finding out about their life, it'll cost you. May not be money, might be time, might be heartaches, might be a few sleepless nights. But he wants us to do it, doesn't he? As we go throughout our day-to-day life, letting our light shine in whatever darkness is being embraced by the world around us. You know, there's so many people that are just making too many bad decisions. Most of us who, you know, try to appear wiser, we only learned what we learned because of all the dumb things we did. Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that an understatement? Yes, yes, we learned from the stupid things we did. Or do, yes, yes. And so, all right, any younger people who might eventually hear this, like, we just want to keep you from making some of those same dumb decisions we made, that's all. Because we've discovered that really his way is the best way. And we've got to keep coming back to that. And thankfully he keeps receiving us back to that. Where would we be without Jesus Christ? Eh? Where would we be? I shudder to think. The world needs our light, doesn't it? Yeah. Keep letting that shine. Well, I hope that encouraged you this morning. I think I encouraged myself for sure. Father, we just give you great thanks and praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lamp for our feet, for our path that it is. Lord, you don't show us everything. You just show us what's the next step or two ahead of us. And Lord, I pray you give us courage to take that next step. That's all it is. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Lord, help us to do that. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our eyes to the things around us, the things that you're interested in, the people you're interested in. And let us be a light in a very dark place. It's all for your glory, your honor, your praise. We do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.